Hello, good morning, and happy breakfasting. I'm Kingsley.
And I'm Sophia.
And this is Breakpoint Radio.
Anyway.
So.
Good morning.
So, yeah, last night, how was Martin?
Excellent. I know I'm really biased, but...
The picture that you tweeted, yeah, that looked really interesting.
It's probably the slide that does the best explanation, but...
Yes. So co-routines. We've talked about co-routines before.
Have we?
Yes, but in passing. So, but this was probably a good few months ago.
Oh, okay.
What was his thing on co-routines?
So
I'm really interested.
Are you really interested?
Yeah, in co-routines, yeah. Particularly.
So he built, Flappy Bird.
Yeah.
He did Flappy Bird using co-routines. And it was all about putting the state and the key press in. I'm probably getting this completely wrong.
No, go on.
And getting the new state.
No, I am actually
the new
genuinely.
State out. I think, well, look at his slides, because I'm probably not doing it justice at all.
Did you see that? So I sent him a link off the back of your thing.
I haven't looked at it yet.
So they're looking at putting coroutines into the native JVM.
Okay.
But they've been talking about this for years and years, and it's never happened.
Right.
And it's been in patched JVMs over the past... You don't remember the patched JVM conversation? No, it doesn't matter. It was a very tiny snippet. But that was one of the first things that got me interested in Scala.
Because he explains it so simply. I think even someone completely new to tech or non-technical would be able to pick up on at least the theory of, you know, putting things in, getting things out, and getting a new...
it piqued my interest enough.
Yeah.
But when I set up my company, so it was slightly... So I called the company, or at least the company traded under the name Delimited. Which was meant to be like my surname, Limited, for Limited Company.
Yeah.
But at the time of co-routines being very popular, there was another thing called Delimited Continuations that are basically the substitute or the alternative way of doing co-routines.
Right.
So part of the kind of...
You feel a connection.
Yeah, it wasn't really funny, but part of the joke of the name was that it related to that particular part of Scala for Delimited Continuations.
Right.
And they killed doing anything with that too.
Okay.
But that bit, when I was back doing gambling stuff, that bit was really interesting because we used to do this thing called in-play betting, so that if a match was on, you could put money on the match while it was on, but to try and make it fair between people who were at the stadium and people who were betting, watching it on the TV from home, there was like a 3-second delay, so you'd put a bet on and then it'd hold it for 3 seconds before actually... because bets all get matched on one particular instance of something running, it's logically all on one box. We had to find a way to get requests coming in and then park them for 3 seconds and then bring that back to life and continue. So you could do it with co-routines or delimited continue. It was basically suspend it for 3 seconds and then continue. So at the time, that was like a real hot thing. But all right, I probably need to talk to Mark.
And he added a lot of humour in. It was very easy to listen to.
Do you know if he used the Scala Continuations library? Because there's a library that uses macros that's used in Scala JS. Yeah.
He did use Scala JS, but I don't want to say no, because I probably just missed it if he did.
I'll probably jump too far into this, but I am actually reasonably interested in this particular bit.
Well, so. He's speaking at the Exchange, so that's your chance to...
Yeah, when I first saw it, I saw Miles come into the office and do a 20-minute demo of co-routines versus delimited continuations. And this is probably about 6 years ago, 7 years ago, and he had like a hacked JVM that he was running them both on. And there were kind of surprising results where you'd think one would be much, much easier to understand and better than the other, but it wasn't. So last time we caught up and did this was the day before the Trump election. And so so weirdly, off the back of that, the world has kind of turned upside down. So Trump's going to be president. people are looking at, is it Farage to do stuff with the US? And yeah, we've now got Microsoft doing Visual Studio for Mac and joining the Linux Foundation. We've got Google joining the .NET steering group. It's just the world's gone mad.
So what does this mean? Does that mean we can see people developing on PCs in the future?
So, yeah, probably. As far as I'm aware, Microsoft have probably been the biggest sponsor of Linux source code for the past couple of years and have been hiring Linux engineers like mad. So they seem to have thrown all their money into going open source. Weirdly, most of the developers that I know have gone to Apple, and Apple are kind of like now the big lockdown force in tech. So it's all gone a bit weird. But that was one kind of weird theme that, like, what's going on? It's just kind of totally inverse. Awkwardly, we're doing our microservices talk.
Oh, soon. They're broken, are they?
Frameworks are broken. Interesting article. I think that was Tim Perrett one.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure he was a guy who did one of the main books around Play a few years ago. So he kind of, and he's at Verizon, who do loads of stuff on open source libraries. So, alright, I'll try and get through these quite quickly. Snapchat specs was all over the place as well for the past couple of weeks.
They're cool, they look amazing.
Yeah, they do look nice, don't they?
Yeah.
I think they've now gone like general release or something.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, I think they're a bit more publicly accessible.
Snapchat are killing it with the...
Oh, it's so... And I think Instagram have just done specs as well. They basically cloned the idea and done it like 2 weeks later.
Really?
So
they had all that thing with the stories.
I think so. So unless it's much better what they've done, it's kind of awkward.
It is really awkward.
Right. Oh, there's so much. There's so much. Just look at the website. all right. So Zuid Swarm Robots. Kind of interesting, only really if you've watched all of the Black Mirrors, because it kind of resonated with some of that.
Okay.
Weirdly enough, I mean, I don't want to go on about the continuation thing, but this Swarm Robots, the big library that was out around the time of coroutines and continuations, was one called Swarm, but I'll talk to you about that after this. Alright, a big VR theme and 3D theme too, so there was a guide for VR that came out, Google Earth came out in VR. There was a Capture Your Home in 3D, which looked like it would be really good for what's the thing where you let your house out to people? Mine's gone blank. Yeah, that one.
Airbnb.
That's it, yeah. It'd probably be cool to like film your flat and then people could have a...
Oh, okay. So, that's a really good idea, actually.
Seemed like a thing. It was a thing at the time.
So you're allowed to fly drones?
Have you seen the light show? So Disney do like a big...
Fireworks.
Yeah, but they have like drones that do all stuff
really?
In the sky at the end
that.
Of... Yeah.
Seriously? Came back, so I've missed it.
It looks cool. I've seen a video of it. It looks like it could go badly wrong. Because if two or three of them fall from the sky...
Oh, yeah.
But,
I guess so. So when I read this, I thought people were allowed to take their drones.
No. I think Disney on their site can fly. So
right.
I don't know how big the no-fly zone is that they've got. Because
okay.
I think it's not really like... You can't fly it, 500 metres near anyone? But it sounded like this was an exception to that rule.
Okay.
Self-defence in the digital age. If you've not read it, it's a good one.
Okay.
It's basically...
Sorry, I've been rubbish this week.
No, so this one is one of those, here's the different ways that you can set yourself up so that you can't get snooped on by the government. So there's lots of Tor network stuff. There's a VM out there called Cubes, which is a secure thing. Have a look at it anyway. Few different releases, Rust 1.13, map types in TypeScript. Don't know too much about it, but I know quite a lot about Anders Helsberg. He was the guy who created C#. Anything that he does seems to be gold. Deep learning libraries for AWS, and the NIST password rules were updated, which were basically think of the user. Oh, right, and that's only the first section. Right, let's just... I'll just keep going. This one, a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it seemed like a good idea for November. Template in library in Scarlet called Beard, which is obviously the Scarlet version of Moustache. Anyway, yeah, Lift 3.0 has now shipped, but it feels a bit like the boat had already shipped before that. It's kind of long overdue. Schema Safe stuff for Cassandra by Cake, Kind Polymorphism for Scala, Shapeless Notes were out there too, Category Theory video by Phil Wadler, an FP library for Spark and Monix 211 was released. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
There's a deep breath.
Right, okay. There's only a few more bits to go.
Skip
Don't skip that. Beginner's Guide to Ethereum. Geth, which is the Go client for Ethereum, new version of that came out. This one was alright. Smart contracts on the JVM.
Oh, okay. Is this the Ethereum again?
It's another Ethereum one.
I was going to go to a meetup last week, but didn't get around to it.
Well, so far it's looks like there's lots of people into Scala who are up for Ethereum, but there's no easy way to get started, so this might be the easy way to get started. And CoinDesk did a State of the Blockchain paper. Oh, we're on the final stretch now. Awesome. Okay, so Docker stuff, free online Kubernetes course that I think was touted by Jamie Dobson. Loving Jamie Dobson's work as ever. So I think he runs Software Circus as well, which is partly why I'm quite keen to go with that. Azure Functions, which is Lambda on Azure, went general availability. Dockerfile linter, an overview of Infocrit from Docker, which is like a resilience library thing, and a Docker fundamentals post was out there. Right, we're on the end finally, thank God for that. So Snooper's Charter came out.
So I think you tweeted about this the other day.
Yeah.
About this the other day.
Probably.
And I agree with you. Why haven't more people heard?
So, I don't know. So there was like a thing called Carnival that was out years ago that kind of did this kind of thing. Mm. All the Snooper's Charter really, for me, is doing is making it a bit more public or visible that the government can see anything that you do. And weirdly, the other link that I've put up there too is the list of agencies that can have access through the charter to your information.
They're not actually seeing more.
No, it's just now public that they can get up, yeah, and that they can ask for all of your details from your ISP. So
I like the fact that if anything was going on, that they could see it if it was bad, but then.
So if you,
I don't know, there's lots of questions.
If you work with people who are quite concerned about privacy and all of that jazz, then this is probably the touch paper of actually the government can do anything they want. Yeah, they can see whatever they want, really, unless you protect yourself. But it's all good.
It's hard, isn't it? Because the internet isn't ours.
As soon as you start protecting yourself, it feels a bit like you're probably lifting your and you're lifting your head. You're then on the radar. So
I think there's a question of do they really care what for I had for dinner last night? Or
For most people, probably. But if you look like you're covering your tracks, then it's probably going to be harder to say that any false information that's injected into your behaviour is false. Because it's like, oh no, I didn't do that, but you can't actually see what I've done.
Yeah.
I suspect there's probably some link to blockchain in all of that at some stage about writing records of what you've done that can't be modified. But we'll see. Google Quick Draw, you want to go with that?
Great, Ben.
That's awesome. Yeah,
I played it for quite some time. Yeah. Although I found
it's good for kids with long car journeys. So, all right, no, sorry, that's all good.
Yeah. No, I found sometimes I would draw something really good, and I'd be really proud of my work, and it wouldn't get it, which is a bit frustrating.
No,
but I guess it's learning. So
must be broken.
Must be better by now, though.
Already. Have a go this week. I have another go today.
Yeah.
On the long train home.
And it still showcased how great the technology was, if that makes sense. You're distracted.
No, my phone was ringing. My phone never rings, but I'm due a phone call from the Harry Potter booking people to try and chase that up, because I was the disgruntled online person. So
I didn't know they were releasing
I got to the front of the queue twice. It said it was redirecting me to buy tickets, and it just bombed. But anyway, yeah, I had to go for like a half hour walk after that to calm down.
If you're allowed to get like two extra tickets.
The thing is, I had it on multiple browser windows with different, just in case one went wrong. It was like my backup plan. Oh, and the both went wrong. Anyway, so angry. Did you have a go at click, 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 click?
I think I saw Martin's actually.
It's done the rounds, that one.
It tells you what you're doing on the screen at the time, doesn't it?
Ah, okay.
Yeah, and
what was the usage? Just to know how much they know about you?
Yeah, I think it was just, here's all the stuff that you can see when you're online. But it wasn't all that.
No, it was just like the data stuff, wasn't it? Or you moved your mouse.
Yeah,
to the left.
What your past few sites were and stuff. Be interesting.
Oh, really? I didn't think it went there.
Oh, it did all sorts. Be interesting to see what that does if you actually got online through Tor or private browser or...
Yeah.
And famous movie scenes recreated with cats? No?
I haven't seen them.
It's not that big a thing.
This is tech related.
Yeah. So, loads of events on too. That's all I'm going to say. Scala Wave, AWS reInvent, I think, is on now. Scala Exchange is the big one. And other stuff. Pipeline, that should be good. And ProgsCon, they should both be good as well next year.
I'd also like to highly recommend the course I did.
Oh, yeah.
At the beginning of this week, Monday, Tuesday, it was by Skills Matter. I should have more
the public speaking course.
How to give engaging technical talks. I will put it by a lovely lady, which is Jenny, and I will put give you the details to put on the thing.
Yeah, cool.
It was excellent. Very, very, very good.
Alright, I'll add it onto the site too. So alright, I'll kill this for now, just in case Harry Potter people try and phone me again. I do not want to miss it. Apparently they're gonna phone me within 72 hours. I'm gonna hold them to it. Alright, that was all good.